together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, we live in a day that tells us constantly to define ourselves, defend ourselves, and to promote ourselves, because if you don't, who will? You look out for you, you look out for you, you look out for you. Guess what? The world has always given counsel that is contrary to God's word. And the world makes heroes out of those who fight back, stand up for their rights, and defend themselves and promote themselves. But when you turn to God's word and you look at God's son, you see something radically different. Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Digney. And we're talking about what it would take to move your marriage away from just surviving to getting on a path that would lead to perhaps even thriving. It'll never be perfect. It'll never be hurt-free, pain-free. But oh, God did want us to experience a marriage that was thriving because of the gospel, because of Jesus Christ, because of his spirit living in us, because his word that gives us insights that are radically different than what the world tells us, because of his word that just flies in the face of songs we listen to, movies we watch, billboards we see, and blogs we read that propose to give us wisdom, that propose to give us solutions. Think about how many times books are titled 10 Keys, 5 Secrets, 5 Steps. But God's given us a book that's better than all of those so often bestsellers that you can find in the self-help section. Guess what? We cannot help ourselves. We need help from someone else, and his name is Jesus Christ. So let's talk about it some more. What is real love? Because real love is absolutely not focused on itself. Jesus was not focused on himself. Real love does not focus on itself, and it suffers long with others. It is patient. We've been looking at 1 Corinthians 13 over and over and over, and patience heads up the list of what it means to truly love someone else. Love is patient. Dan Allender tells us this: the first two characteristics of intimate love are a complementary pair. Love is patient and love is kind. Even as I say those two words, don't they, if you were to be honest, don't they just kind of fall flat? Like, really? I mean, give me something else. There's no way that's going to change my marriage. Oh, listen, if you were to begin to practice long suffering, slow to defend your rights, slow to retaliate, slow to take vengeance on your spouse, and if you were to begin to practice simple kindness, what does it look like to be gracious and kind and patient? It would put you on a very different path. He goes on to say, patience is perhaps the most difficult of all. It calls us to move toward our spouse by not moving at all. I like that. It insists that we wait on our spouse. Our natural tendency is to jump in with both feet. We want a problem corrected immediately. We want to remove annoyance in a second. Patience is a gift that says, I will trust that God is up to something. I will not insist, demand, or expedite change. I will wait. You see, patience and waiting go together. And if you were honest, wouldn't you admit, I don't have much patience and I do not like to wait. I don't have much patience and I do not like to wait. And yet what you see in God's word is that waiting is commended repeatedly. Waiting. When we do not try to make things happen, when we do not push our agenda, when we do not demand our rights, and when we do not live with our spouse in a way that, even if we don't say it out loud, they can feel, I need you to get it together and to change quickly. I'm not going to tolerate anything that irritates me. Think about that great chapter, Isaiah 40. It has a verse that you do see on coffee cups and Christian t-shirts and little wall plaques. And I don't know if you thought about it before, but it has to do with waiting. And it tells us something really good begins to happen to you and in you when you wait on the Lord. Instead of running ahead of the Lord and trying to make things happen on your own. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 27. This is God speaking. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? In other words, he's capturing what we so often think and feel, even if we don't say it out loud. We think, God doesn't see where I am. God doesn't see how hard this is. God doesn't even know. My way is hidden. Does he see me? And then notice, my right is disregarded. I'm not getting my rights. I'm not getting my rights. God doesn't see what I'm going through, and I'm not getting my rights. Verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Oh, listen to verse 29. He gives power to the faint. Some of you you've grown faint in your marriage. You're losing heart. You're tempted to quit and give up. You don't have hope. You think, I don't know what I would do next. Oh, God gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. You might say, I'm running out of steam here. Great. When you run out of steam and you are weak and you are faint, that's when he gives strength, supernatural. Verse 30, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Verse 31, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Do you need your strength renewed? They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word wait in the Hebrew, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew originally. That Hebrew word for wait is a word that actually means to be leaning forward with an expectant posture, expecting that God is up to something. So it's not just a word that's passive. All right, I'm just waiting on God to do something in this marriage. No, 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 it's not passive. And it's not snarky. It's hopeful and expectant. God, you gave us marriage. God, you gave us your son so that I could do differently than my own strength. We have the power of the gospel. I have your spirit in me. I have direct access to your throne day and night. I can cry out to you, and I have your word that is alive to me. I am expectant in what you're going to do. And I pray that as I wait on you, you would give me strength as I'm losing strength. You would give me hope as I'm losing hope. You would give me clarity as I'm getting confused. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. He goes on to say, patience is perhaps the most difficult of all. It calls us to move toward our spouse. By not moving, it insists that we wait on our spouse. Our natural tendency is to demand change. If patience is trust in God's good plan, then kindness is a taste of that plan. Notice he couples together at the beginning of this great passage on what real love is. He couples together patience and kindness. If patience is trust in God's good plan, then kindness is a taste of that plan, which can be seen in the cross. Kindness is the gift of mercy. It seeks to transform our spouses by offering them what is undeserved and unexpected. Oh my goodness, that's good. And oh my goodness, that is hard. What about you? Are you willing to wait on God to work in your marriage? Are you willing to wait? Are you expectant? Are you hopeful that even if I don't see circumstantially anything that would cause me to think anything's going on, just like we talked about in a previous show, roots growing underground. That's not exciting. That's not spectacular. That's not flashy. But oh, it makes such a difference in a marriage. So does waiting, waiting, and giving your spouse what is undeserved and unexpected. Now you think about that. Do you make it a habit at all to give your spouse what is undeserved and unexpected? Or do you just measure out to them exactly what you think they deserve? Oh, we're talking about what would make your marriage thrive instead of staying barely alive. And so we're talking about real love that is patient and kind and gives mercy. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll push this thing a little further in what it looks like to extend mercy to your spouse.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad in just a second, but let's slow down if we can for just a moment, because if you're anything like me, what he's talking about is not something that just lands with us like a lot of truth can. This is something that kind of needs to linger. Patience and kindness, those are words that they don't just grab our attention. They're the very things that hold marriages together. Pastor Brad is not here to give you pep talks. He's not here to pretend marriage is easy. He's actually letting us sit in the tension of it. And then he takes scripture and he speaks into places where we might find ourselves exhausted and tired, or maybe we get discouraged that things aren't changing fast enough or how we want them to change. I don't know where that finds you at right now today in your marriage, but I do know this: God sees where you are, and he hasn't called you to endure alone. That's also why we do what we do here at Fortis Institute. For over 25 years, this ministry, first as Wretched Radio, then Gospel Partners Media, now as Fortis Institute, we've stayed focused. Our goal has been equipping the saints, strengthening homes, and holding up the truth of God in an upside down, crazy, ridiculous world that just keeps spinning faster and faster. And if that is a mission that resonates with you, I want to ask you if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I say it so often, but I mean it. Giving starts first with your local church, obviously. That's your first and primary commitment. And if that's an area of your life that is in order and you're not strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt and you have room to come alongside us, we would be honored if you would prayerfully consider it. You can learn more about what it would look like in your life right now at fortisinstitute.org. There you'll find answers to all of the questions I know you have, and it will show you where the money goes. 83 cents of every dollar goes directly to ministry. None of us around here are flying around in private jets. So hopefully you can see that your partnership makes a real lasting impact. We're in this together. Your support just doesn't help us keep making shows like Thrive. It helps us to continue offering biblical clarity in a culture that keeps trading truth for noise. FortisInstitute.org is where you can find all of the information. Now, let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney as he continues to dive deeper into the picture of actual biblical love, which is a love that doesn't rush. It's a love that waits. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, before we took a break, I was asking you, do you at all, to any degree, ever give your spouse what is undeserved and unexpected? And even if you're thinking, but why should I? Well, let me help you. That's how God treats us. Whenever you struggle in your horizontal earthly relationships, especially those closest to you in this thing called marriage, you got to keep going back to that vertical relationship. What does God do towards you? What does God do for you? What does God give to you? And then he expects you to pass it on, to do that for your spouse. Do you ever give your spouse what is undeserved and unexpected? Or do you just measure out to them exactly what you think they deserve? So many marriages are dying on the vine as both husband and wife carefully and calculatedly make sure they never give their spouse any more than they deserve. You know why? Because we're so afraid. If I affirm them, if I love them, if I bless them, if I treat them kindly, unexpectedly, they might never change. We have it in our minds that punishing them or giving them only what they deserve will get them motivated and cause them to change. News alert, it does not. It does not. But it is unbelievable what can happen when someone experiences undeserved, unexpected mercy and grace. That's what God did for us. It was unexpected, undeserved. We don't deserve it. He's like, you've got it. You know, sometimes when you think, I don't think I have what it takes to do marriage. If you are a Christian and you have the Spirit living in you, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Do those things sound like anything that would help your marriage? Yeah, that's the fruit of the Spirit living in you. But you need to be filled more with the Spirit than you. There just needs to be more of that Spirit and less of you. But you have what you need to give your spouse things that are undeserved and unexpected. But maybe you're pushing back and thinking, how can I do that? Well, it's supernatural, supernatural. And there's got to be more of the Spirit of Christ living in you, taking control over you, than you doing your own thing. Paul Tripp says this, true mercy only ever begins when you come to the end of yourself. I know this might sound odd, radical, and even put you off at first, but I hope you realize some of the best things that begin to happen, including what happens in your marriage, is when you come to the end of yourself. Each of us come into marriage with way too much of us. That's what makes us so toxic. It's not the circumstances, it's the people in those circumstances. There's just too much of us, self, and our agenda, and what we want. True mercy, he says, only ever begins when you come to the end of yourself. I'm called to give gifts that shock me. And I turn around and I see the richness of the gospel. But as we give and we give and we give, we don't become poor. We become rich. If you're new to the Bible, let me help you here. If that sounds odd and upside down, like upside down thinking, yes, yes. So much of the Bible is upside down thinking to what we would think. And here's one of it. As you give and give and give, you do not become poor. You become rich because you're becoming more like Christ. Some of your marriages are so poor and they're struggling and they're barely alive, just sucking in air, just barely staying alive. And it's because they are so mercy deficient. Your marriage is mercy deficient. Here's two important words that we see in the Bible that are important words for your marriage, mercy and grace. Mercy is not giving someone what they deserve. You withhold what they deserve. You don't give them what they deserve. You don't measure out what they deserve. You don't retaliate. And grace is extending or giving them something they do not deserve. As you begin to relate to your spouse, not doing what you think they deserve, not lashing out, and doing something they do not deserve, they have not earned. It's unexpected and undeserved. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. You don't become poor. you become rich and your marriage starts to take deeper breaths, starts to get more oxygen. It peels the lid off of that marriage that just kind of shrunk down to this tiny little world where you've gone to war with each other and neither one of you can breathe in there, each defending their own rights, demanding their own rights, promoting their own agenda. God says there's a better way. It's radical, but there's a better way. I want you to listen to the testimony of a woman in our church who I've had the privilege of watching for the past several years, many years, what I call do mercy in her marriage for the long haul, almost 22 years now, and some of them really, really hard years. But she has no regrets because she has tasted mercy. And she's come to know her Savior in ways that she would not apart from the trials she's been through in her marriage. She sent me this email after I kicked off a sermon series on marriage. Listen to what she says. Thank you so much for the excitement you have with this marriage series. I can hear it in your voice, Brad. Our anniversary is this November, and we'll be going on 22 years. I saw on the promotional flyer that you're going to be preaching about adding mercy to your marriage. So I wanted to share with you how years ago, at the very beginning of our dark marriage trials, trials that involved my sins and my husband's sins, the Lord showed me that His mercy flows like a river that will never dry up. I believed God on that dark day, and years later now, I've seen that His mercy, His river of mercy, never dries up. We deserved that river to dry up, but it didn't. What she's talking about is declared in the scriptures when God's word tells us His mercies are new every morning. You don't have to live on yesterday's mercy. You get fresh, new mercy from the Lord. His mercies are new every morning. Some of you think that you need to start over with a new spouse. I married the wrong person. But what if you just started adding mercy to the marriage you already have? What could happen? Real love extends mercy to the other, to the beloved, to the other, not because they deserve it. It's unexpected and undeserved. And mercy, you need to get a hold of this. Mercy is the sweetener that changes the flavor in all of our relationships. We think it's something else. We think it's a trip. We think it's a vacation. We think it's adding a den on the back of the house. We think maybe having another baby. We think of all kinds of other things. And God points us back and says, hey, look here. Look here. There's not enough mercy and there's not enough grace. And there's way too much of you in the middle of this marriage. Love is patient and kind. And the heart of patience is being willing to wait on God to work, cry out to God to work, and then wait on God to work. And I hope you realize waiting is never wasted. Good things happen to us as we wait on the Lord. You become more like Christ. He begins to give you strength where you were weak. He begins to give you hope where you were despairing. He begins to give clarity where you were confused. So often we don't have what we need for the marriage because we're not waiting on God to do it in us. We're running ahead, clutching our little agenda of what we think it has to look like and what He has to do for us. Undeserved and unexpected. And that's what God did for us. Romans chapter 5 tells us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That was unexpected and undeserved. That's why God says He demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died. That love, that agape love that He demonstrates towards us is the same love that He calls us to extend to our spouse. Oh, is this radical? You better believe it. Is it hard? Yes. Can you do it in your own strength? Absolutely not. It is supernatural. But you have God's Spirit living in you. He would love to work in you and then through you to extend what is undeserved and unexpected to your spouse. And watch your marriage begin to move to a new place.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.